as only a goaltender would be able to describe it, your very good friend Freddie Anderson told us in the first day of camp that this is a sprint but also a marathon. So are you ready for a sprint but also a marathon, Mr. Ralph?
Well, I don't know which one it is, but you're going to have to win either race. You know, it's all about the finish line, not how you get there. But, yeah, I think because of the schedule and a certain amount of back-to-back games, from a goaltender standpoint, it's going to be taxing. And the Leafs, I think, have been pretty smart in stacking up and having, you know, some guys who can back up Freddie Anderson.
Jim, from the very limited and out-of-distance glimpses you've had of the 2020 Toronto, or 2021 Toronto Maple Leafs. God, let's not go to 2020.
It is 2020. Technically, it's the 2020-2021 NHL season. It is.
Is it? Even though they're only playing in 2021?
We had this discussion. Yes.
Is that true? Is that like on the... Oh, now you confused me.
Could you guys give me a sec? I got to write this down.
And what are we calling the division again? Hang on.
We'll call it whatever they want to call it.
I wrote down.
Yes, thank you, Jim. That's right.
Yeah.
They paid full value for that, so I think we should acknowledge it, right? Anyway, yeah. What do they look like, Jim? I know this is, you know, everything's weird, but have you been able to glean anything from the few glimpses we've had of them?
No, and I think especially without preseason games, you don't get a look at the newcomers and how they're going to fit in. And I think that's the tough part. The first four or five games, I think, are going to be like preseason. You know, see, the Leafs are going with different power play combinations, different line combinations, and those could be absolutely off the board in two or three games. So I think that's where, you know, at least it's even for everybody. But I think, you know, it's almost going to be like an extended part of training camp when you get into the early part of the season, you know, to see who can go. Can Thornton keep up with Matthews and Myers? You know, that might be a great idea for two games, and you find you have to reshuffle. So if to say how they look or how they're going to do, I think it's like everybody else, is guesswork. You should have a better idea probably four or five games from now.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I'm looking ahead to, and you know, the games come fast and furious, but we will see that back-to-back situation against the Ottawa Senators. I believe Friday and Saturday is a back-to-back situation against the Senators. There's been a lot of talk about the intensity of the games and the I moved my page in the Scotia NHL North Division.
Well done.
Thank you. Scotia NHL North Division. There you go.
2021. Right.
Whatever. Yeah. 2021. The defending 2021 Scotia NHL North Division champions, your Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's so much better doing color than play by play.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, without question. You know, there's a lot of talk about how these back-to-back games might feel, the intensity of them and everything. I'm kind of more interested in how coaches are going to coach those games and how coaches are going to use different players in those games. I mean, I you know, doing some reading, I've heard some coaches say that in back-to-back situations, they are essentially going to, some of them are thinking of using two different sets of top lines. In other words, one night you'll see ABC, XYZ, the next night it'll be AXZ, and you know that to just throw change ups at guys. Are we going to see a lot of stuff like that, do you think?
Well, I think it's going to depend on the desperation. You know, if you find yourself, say, in 6 weeks you're 7 points out of the playoff spot, you better believe you know, the likes of Connor McDavid, Nuss, and Matthews aren't going to have their ice time cut. It's the same thing, I think, with the goaltenders, where you might see a lot of guys. I mean, traditionally, Freddie Anderson hasn't played back-to-back. But I think, you know, say you're up against Montreal and you're fighting for a spot in the division, whether it's the playoffs or first place. Not a prediction, by the way, just an example. But, you know, you're going to see guys have to, you know, play the extra. And I think the good thing is, with the back-to-backs in the same cities, you don't have the travel fatigue that you usually have. So I think that's got to factor into it, that, you know, the toll on the bodies by saving on travel is probably going to be a factor.
You know, you already mentioned the Joe Thornton thing, which is going to be, you know, off the top, is going to be, obviously, it's the fun story too. It's a cool story if it works out. But I just wondered, Jim, is there some magical thinking involved here? You know, thinking that Joe Thornton at this stage in his career, at those many miles per hour on the ice, with that many miles on him, can play with those two guys, can play on the first line, can be a significant contributor to a team that's got, you know, Stanley Cup aspirations. Like, are we kind of waxing? Is it about the story and about the nostalgia here, or do you think that that could really play out over the course of this season?
Well, probably the best example, the best comparison would be Jagr. You know, still being able to be a 20-goal guy into his 40s. So, you know, Joe's become more of a setup guy than a goal scorer. But you know, you talk about the big body and the balance and how tough it is to get the puck off. And that's exactly what they said led to Jagr's lengthy career. I do have a story for you, though. I remember in 97 when Joe was drafted to Boston, I got a call from Harry Sinden, and he said they were doing a draft party at the rink, which is them, you know, busting at the first overall pick. So they asked if I would go in and do some video stuff on their scoreboard just for the party with Joe. So we kind of laughed that that's, you know, 97. And whenever I see him, he says, "You're still going?" I'm going like, "I'm still going." But it was... It was a lot of fun to try to remember back that long ago.
Geez, it's funny. It's funny you mentioned that, Jim. Because I wrote it's a long story, but there was a documentary series done about the NHL that season. It was called The New Ice Age,
right?
And I ended up writing the companion book for it for money. And the publication of which was delayed.
Why would you even have to? I mean, that goes without saying.
No, but that was more for money than most things I've done. So anyway, it's not necessarily one I acknowledge, but. What I remember about that was there was some great stuff in that series. There was, you know, not all of it ended up, you know, making it to air, but there was some great stuff. And part of it was they drafted, you know, Harrison and Michael Connell, I think, was the GM then, right, in Boston. And there was, like, Sinden couldn't, they actually had him, and again, I don't remember this actually made it into the show, but they had him mic'd, you know, sitting in the Boston Garden watching the practices early on, training camp. He called Thornton, he referred to him as Surfer, the Surfer Kid, the Surfer Boy, because he had kind of the blonde hair. Right? And they were, was it, who else did they draft there? Was it Samsonov? They were baffled by Thornton, right? Like, they were frustrated by him. They didn't know what to make of him. And they never really got comfortable with him.
No, and I believe Pat Burns was his coach
yes.
the first year, and he didn't play a lot. So it, I think what you like about him, and you guys can appreciate that, especially you, Stephen, is he's the old school, have fun, chirp guys in the dressing room. And one of the stories I read when, you know, you talk about his nickname being Jumbo, that he had, he's always coming up with these bizarre nicknames for everybody else. Apparently, the assistant athletic therapist in San Jose, his name is Wes. But Joe Thornton, for whatever reason, I think called him Lou. Nobody knew why, but that was just the guy's name. And he had former teammates say, "Oh, no, it's Phil." He referred to him as Phil, but his name is Wes. And nobody could understand, but everybody called him Lou. So it's to me, those are the types of characters that I go back that I played with in the 80s, the guys that were just sort of a little off the chart, but,
right.
you know, are still going to be respected by what they do on the ice as well.
As you look at this division, you know, obviously a lot of people have the Leafs as a favorite, and I think rightly so. How close do you think this division will be, though? Like, do you think that there will be a pretty significant drop-off, you know, after the top four? Do you think that top to bottom, this is the best, this might be the most balanced division in the NHL?
I mean, I think it's going to be back to what it was in August where,
okay.
you know, you will see some separation, but I don't think many people picked, you know, the demise of the Penguins at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens. I still think you're going to see some surprise stories come along. And, you know, even from a Leafs standpoint, I think it's not a great thing to have that tag that you're supposed to win the division, according to most people, because, you know, other teams don't really need that much more motivation to get up for games.
Right.
So it's like what we said, even with the line combinations, so much can change in the first four or five games. Where I do think, though, if the Leafs have any kind of shot of finishing first, and let's face it, the home ice advantage isn't what it used to be
right.
When you get in the postseason. But it's going to be the backup goaltenders. I think last year they were behind Anderson 5-12-2 combined. Mm-hmm. And if your backup guys aren't at least 500, a lot of times that's the difference between first and fifth and being in the playoffs or out of the playoffs. So I think those are, you know, the things that, that you're going to notice right away. Even when the Leafs played Columbus in the playing series in August, and there was talk of loading up and putting Matthews, Marner, and Tavares on the same line. And I know we said on the air, if you see that, they're in trouble. Right. You know, if they have to go that way to load up, that means they're trailing in the series or they're having trouble finding offense. So I think we're going to see that again, where nothing's going to be written in stone, and a lot of coaches are going to have some adjustments. How often do you use the taxi squad? You know, the cap situations. There's a lot of, you know, sort of sub-stories to what I think we're going to see, especially in the first month.